Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 4th day of June, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and we're going to start off this evening with a new segment that I'm going to have to call So Sick That It's Actually Funny. And it also tells us a whole lot about the state of justice, or what now passes for it, in once free, now completely communist, who are we kidding, America with a K. A jury of deep state peers in Washington District of Criminals, as expected, found Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign lawyer, the evil Michael Sussman, not guilty of a basically non-crime of lying to the FBI. Now remember, folks, if you lie to the FBI, that's a crime. But if one of Hillary's minions lies to the FBI in furtherance of the takeover of the United States, well, that's par for the course. And of course it's not a crime. This despite, says Jim Hoff of the Gateway Pundit, overwhelming evidence, in fact proof, that Sussman falsely told James Baker that he wasn't doing work for any client, which was of course a bald-faced lie, when he asked for a meeting with the FBI where he presented the bogus evidence that the Trump Tower was secretly communicating with Kremlin-tied Alpha Bank. What's the point? Undermine the new administration before it even gets put in office, as opposed to, of course, not allowing the elected administration to continue in office. About the only thing of interest that came out of the trial was that Clinton's campaign manager in 2016, Robbie Mook, testified that Hillary herself personally approved the dissemination of the disinformation, the bogus Trump Russia accusations, to not just the FBI, but the media. So let's just pause for a second and see if we got all this straight. The FBI can lie to the American people. The FBI can, in fact, incite riots and then blame it on other people and send innocent Americans to the gulag as political prisoners for daring to think that they have any rights, such as to petition the government for a redress of grievance, speak freely, or for crying out loud, keep and bear arms. And if you recognize that an election has been stolen and dare to talk about it, that is a crime. On the other hand, those who do it and then lie about it to the FBI are just fine, because that was the point. The truth is, when Orwell wrote that some animals are more equal than others, he was soft-peddling it. Here's one also so sick it's funny, and I'll warn you up front, if you're easily offended by the truth, folks, you're probably listening to the wrong show anyway, but I'm not even going to try to pull punches anymore when it comes to really disgusting stuff being slammed down people's throats or into other orifices. Let's go right here. World Health Organization says it's very important that pride celebrations. Pride, you might be thinking? Oh, you probably know. Not pride in your family, your country, your God, your accomplishments, or anything else, but pride in, well, how it is you commit sex, especially if the Bible calls it abomination. Yeah, who may change your plans when it comes to everything else in your life, but when it comes to pride celebrations, your plans shouldn't change there over concerns around booga, 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 the monkeypox. You heard that right. Now, obviously, though, when it comes to anal sex, there's no booga-booga about it. When it's a Fauci bioweapon being used to destroy your family, your rights, your businesses, your future, certainly your health, well, you'd better wear your mask and take your poison poke and keep your blankety-blankin' mouth shut. That's what the muzzle is for. Or else. But when it comes to politically correct anti-biblical abominations, well, it's a whole different story. The World Health Organization, this is a piece from the Gateway Pundit's Cassandra Fairbanks, now says that people should not change their plans to attend pride celebrations over monkeypox outbreaks, in spite of the fact that the leading theory for the rapid spread of this newest supervirus is sex between men in two different raves in Europe. Quote, it's important that people who want to go out and celebrate gay pride, LGBTQ pride, continue to go and plan to do so, said Andy Seal, strategies advisor in the WHO Department of Global HIV, Hepatitis, and Sexually Transmitted Disease Propagation during a, I don't know if I read that right, but that's what it ought to be called, during a press conference on Monday, according to The Hill. There is no specific transmission route you need to worry your pretty little heads about, he said. Huh? So let me get this straight. A face diaper will protect you from Fauci's bioweapon because, well, science. But butt-boinkin' buddies with the pox is just fine. Obviously, when it comes to pride, as far as who's concerned, your health can go to, well, hell. These stories really aren't funny, folks, but they sure tell you, in very graphic terms, what matters. And it's not the truth. But if you thought that was disgusting, buckle up. Because we have to follow that up with this. And what was once the proud branch of the American military services called the United States Marines. Now, disgustingly, it looks like all they've got left is pride, and it's not in their ability to defend the country either. But it is certainly a month to celebrate with the Bible, back when we had one in the military services called Abominations, and they're not going to miss out. Says Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge, they are being mocked, however, because with Pride Month upon us, it's not uncommon to see woke companies try to virtue signal with rainbow everything. And at this point, folks, I have to add in my own explanation. In order to let us know just how excited they are about abominations and how much they hate everything that would have once been called truth, justice, and the American way, especially if it aligns with Scripture, having sold out to the LGBTQ plus, etc. community, lest they be considered unwoke. And not wanting to be left out of the race to outright Satanism, the United States Marine Corps has joined in, officially tweeting a photo of a Marine helmet with bullets painted in rainbow colors on the strap. And here's the official announcement that goes with that sellout. Quote, throughout June, they say, the USMC takes hashtag pride in recognizing and honoring the contributions of our LGBTQ service members. We remain committed to fostering an environment free from discrimination.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
And defend the values of treating all equally with dignity and respect. Unless, of course, you believe in the God of the Bible and read his book. Or don't want to take the poison poke when we say to you, grunt maggot surf you. And it's signed with hashtags like Pride Month and hashtag USMC. Zero Hedge, however, along with your host, couldn't help but note that the Marines seem to be divisive when it comes to political correctness replacing their mission to defend the country. And many took offense at the idiotic, disgusting meme, like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whose press secretary, Christina Pushaw, tweeted, seriously, how does fixating on differences foster cohesion and unity? China is laughing at us, said another. Do we only shoot gay bullets now? Asked a third. And this is not a good look, Shane, said the Code of Vets. It makes us look weak, ridiculous. And that, of course, is undeniably, painfully clear. Oh, yeah, and I guess I'll do this one, too. I will have to do a bit of editing on it. But it sounds like an actual real Marine before they went limp-wristed woke who says, F*** out of here with this. We don't take political sides, and we don't engage in social commentary. We kill the enemy, period. Your host has to ask, are there still Marines around that know who the real enemy actually is? Back to what matters, and it's not the truth, that seems to go double for the Marionette-in-Chief, the imposter occupying the Oval Office. The official spokeslayer, Karine Jean-Pierre, on Tuesday said the Biden regime is looking at other executive actions when it comes to infringing the hell out of what's left of the Bill of Rights, and particularly the right to keep and bear arms. Quote, it's an epidemic, she said, the gun violence we're seeing across the country. Virtually always your host notes in gun-free killing zones, and more often than not, with all kinds of suspicious other things going on as well. And we have to do something! We have to take efforts to act to protect our kids, unquote. And I gotta pause, take a deep breath, and admit, folks, that when I hear scumbags like this talk about protecting kids, it's downright infuriating, because of course they want to abort as many of them as possible before they get to be kids. These are the same people that want to kill them in mass, poison poke them, and then make damn sure that they're in gun-free killing zones so that they can have their way with them. And that's when they're not trying to groom them and mutilate their sexual organs or inject them with hormones. With apologies to Mark Twain, there's liars, there's damn liars, and then there's these people. Anyway, she continued, quote, we're looking at other executive actions that we can possibly do. Meanwhile, the Biden Fuhrer was ad-libbing on the South Lawn, sans teleprompter, and it showed, saying he wants to do all kinds of unconstitutional things like ban high-caliber weapons. And he doesn't even seem to know that 9mm isn't one of those. But that was really kind of the least of his, I'm going to call it outright what it is, idiocies. Because some of these things were just plain too stupid to be lies.
And they showed me an x-ray. He said a 22-caliber bullet will lodge in the lung. And we can probably get it out, may be able to get it, and save the life. A 9mm bullet blows the lung out of the body.
Wow, even Quentin Tarantino movies don't show that. This guy's a blithering idiot. Why, he's almost as ignorant about guns as he is the Constitution.
It makes no sense to be able to versus something that can fire up to 300 rounds.
Okay, well, that makes no sense. But at least it's not quite as asinine as the claim that a 9mm bullet will blow a lung clean out of a body.
So the idea of these high-caliber weapons is of there is simply no rational basis for it in terms of about self-protection, hunting. I mean, I just, and remember, the Constitution, the Second Amendment, was never absolute. You couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed.
Actually, once again, he's a damned liar, because you could. Thomas Jefferson had a cannon at Monticello, just to make the point. On the scale of lies, though, this is kind of interesting. He was basically asked, why doesn't he just outlaw guns? And like everything else he's done, simply ignore the Constitution and do it by executive order.
I can do the things I've done, and any executive action I can take, I'll continue to take. But I can't outlaw a weapon. I can't, you know, change the background check. I can't do that.
I can rig an election. I can destroy an economy.
And you know, my whole career I've been doing it.
Evidently, though, when the regime really wants to pull out the stops and tell Americans what they really have planned and go way beyond the Second Amendment isn't absolute, hell, it doesn't really matter at all anymore, neither does your right to life, liberty, and especially property, well, they turn to people like Beto O'Rourke.
I just took the position that may not be politically popular, maybe too honest, that not only should no one be able to purchase an AR-15 or an AK-47 because they're designed to kill humans, and that high-impact, high-velocity round will just tear up everything inside. You'll bleed out before we can get you back to life. But I don't think that the people who have them right now in civilian use should be able to keep them.
See, that's at least honest, or as close as these people can get. You peons shouldn't be allowed to own property at all. And we do intend to pry all of it from your cold, dead hands. Well, after all of that, I guess it's appropriate to take a look at the real truth that keeps coming out about these attempts to destroy the Second Amendment by sacrificing kids on the altar of gun violence and, of course, complete disarmament of the American people, along with the elimination of the concept of private property, especially when it's constitutionally protected and the only property about which it is said shall not be infringed. The Uvalde Police Department and school district, says another piece from the Gateway Pundit, are no longer cooperating with the Texas Department of Public Safety, SICK, and their investigation into last Tuesday's latest deadly mass killing in a gun-free killing zone, said ABC News. And according to multiple reports, the alleged lone gunman, is that really true? Or did he just have a bunch of spotters working with him? Salvador Ramos spent more than 40 minutes inside the building having his way as loved ones and other people who knew better than those that were standing outside preventing them from going in begged the police to charge into the building. Police arrived just 4 minutes after the shooting began, but the alleged lone gunman continued in the gun-free killing zone with his killing spree virtually uninterrupted, while police and other law enforcement SICK officers targeted, instead of the killer, desperate parents trying to save their children in the gun-free killing zone. And now, says ABC News, the Uvalde Police Department, having been caught, has stopped cooperating with Texas investigators, according to multiple sources. Although the Uvalde police chief and a spokeslayer for the Uvalde Independent School District didn't immediately respond to requests for comments. All of this happened soon after the director of DPS, Colonel Stephen McCraw, held a news conference Friday during which he admitted that the delayed police entry into the classroom was, quote, the wrong decision. Oh, yeah, and it's contrary to their established protocol as well. So the story continues, while the Uvalde Police Department and CISD police had been cooperating with investigators, they provided an initial interview, but have now not responded to a request for follow-up that the Texas Rangers made 2 days ago. A related story, courtesy of Red State News via LouRockwell.com. Questions, they suggest, over the Uvalde Police Department's response, or maybe lack thereof, unless you count preventing parents from trying to save their kids, carried out on Tuesday, continue to rage. Multiple reports have painted a disturbing picture, to put it mildly, of both utter incompetence and, yes, egregious decision-making, if not outright complicity, with over a dozen officers standing by while the shooter managed unimpeded to kill 19 children. Perhaps even worse, after a tactical team from the Border Patrol arrived, they too were told to stand down before eventually disobeying the order and neutralizing the threat. Well, at least they didn't catch the FBI types in action, or did they? Maybe we'll never know. For their part, Texas DPS gave a press conference that attempted to gloss over the failings, refusing to answer basic questions about what transpired, but now it says unearthed documents are showing how protocols were violated and in shocking ways, with the police response directly contradicting the expectations they were given just months prior in regards to an active shooter situation. And, of course, the expected gun-free killing zone. The instructions, though, aren't vague. Officers were told that the first priority is to confront the killer immediately, neutralize them, and then render aid. Nowhere does it say to hang back for an hour waiting on a tactical team before preventing said tactical team from even entering the gun-free killing zone. They did want to keep it gun-free, obviously. Further, it notes that while not waiting for backup, even a single officer is expected to do his duty. And, as the story notes, that, in fact, is the job. And that comes from Uvalde PD's own stated protocols. Now, you may have heard, of course, that they hung back because, quote, they could have been shot. But it turns out that the documents specifically say that someone with such an attitude should find another line of work. But wait, there's more. And honestly, folks, I've seen this one now from multiple sources as well, or I wouldn't even want to talk about it. But given all of the chicanery that's going on and the attempted cover-up, I guess it does make sense to at least admit something else is happening here, too. The day of the Uvalde shooting, says a piece that I saw via VoxDay.net, a U.S. Army MC-12 recon plane left Fort Hood in Kyleen at 10:15 a.m. Central Time, whereupon it approached the Uvalde area, 1102, and flew over the KUVA airport, entered the pattern at 1116, landing at 1125. At 1248 p.m., the plane took off and returned to Fort Hood. Now, the story goes on to say that the MC-12W is designed to intensify data collection operations through intelligence collection capabilities in theater. And I guess you have to say, Uvalde was certainly in theater last week, wasn't it? Allowing real-time full-motion video and signals intelligence, or SIGINT, for battlefield decisions of military troop leaders. And if that doesn't raise eyebrows, it should. Reports are that Ramos entered the school at 1128 a.m. and was taken out. Not, of course, by the PD at 12:50 p.m., almost 90 minutes later. So you have to ask this question. Why would a military recon plane like this MC-12W that had never before been to Uvalde this time land there and then leave there near those same times? Did it drop someone off and or pick someone up? Did they need to collect all the cell phone activity and all the players in the area just to ensure that the future narrative doesn't collapse if some kid with a cell phone emerges with some video footage a year from now that, presents a different set of facts than the ones that they want the American dumbed-down people to be aware of? You do have to ask all of these questions, don't you? And let's not forget, there was this story, too, that came out over the weekend. The Biden Führer has reportedly told State Senator Roland Gutierrez that he would like to have the FedGov tear down Robb Elementary School and replace it with a new building. I guess they've learned that in the past. If you really want to destroy all the forensic evidence, you got to raise that sucker to the ground, haul everything off, and make sure that you bring in contaminated materials from off-site, too, so that there's no chain of custody remaining whatsoever. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. But there really is something to see if you actually care about the truth. And the truth is, if you try to commit a mass murder in an area that's not a certified gun-free killing zone, you probably end up as a Darwin Award winner. And good riddance. I'm not a fan of Darwin, obviously, but the Darwin Award, certainly, they do have a place, at least on the humor scale. And this isn't really funny, but in a way it sort of is. And while the waste stream doesn't want to talk about it, it certainly is an important counterpoint to the gun-free killing zones that America's dumbing down indoctrination centers, a.k.a. public schools, have become. In Charleston, West Virginia, last Wednesday night, you had a crowd of people outside an apartment complex celebrating a high school graduation.
Turns out that what happened was there was a fellow, he turns out to have had an extensive criminal history, named Dennis Butler, real scumbag of a fellow. He is driving down the street, was speeding through the area, and somebody stopped him and said, "Hey, there are kids present here. Don't be speeding. That's not right." So he comes back with what else? What he's been trained on TV that he has to use to kill kids. He brings an AR-15.
Which, as it turns out later, he didn't legally acquire anyway. Hey, there's a shocker. He avoided the gun control laws and still managed to get a gun? and he proceeds to start firing into the crowd. Thankfully, I guess he wasn't as well-trained as most FBI patsies seem to be. More of your basic dumbed-down leftist.
Here's why I say this is a Darwin Award. Because unlike at a
public school where you can practically be guaranteed nobody not wearing a uniform anyway has got a gun,
nobody of any consequence that can actually do anything, that wasn't the case here. He didn't check to see this was a gun-free killing zone. Turned out it wasn't. A woman in the crowd pulled out a pistol, shot that sucker dead. Right there on the spot. Cops came and said, yeah, draw a chalk line around him, call it good. No charges will be filed. He has an extensive criminal history. She engaged the threat. Rather than running away, fleeing before those who hate her, shot him dead and saved who knows how many lives last night. This from the Charleston Police Department Chief of Detectives, Tony Hazlett.
So, here's what the media really doesn't want you to even consider.
There are gun-free killing zones where people can kill with impunity. Biden will then opine and say, we need to take guns away from everybody else so we can do this to you. But this guy didn't know that this wasn't a gun-free killing zone. It cost him his life. Deadliest mistake and a Darwin Award winner. Now, there's one other observation I want to make here. Again, you know what happened in Uvalde, and I'll go through some of the things that have come out later that kind of blow the official narrative to smithereens, right? It's the usual lone gunman. He lied on the forms. The guy was had all kinds of problems. The law was supposed to have stopped him. Obviously, didn't. And as the Texas governor, Abbott, said, and this is kind of ironic. I want to pause and ponder this for a second. Abbott said, this fellow committed a felony before he even pulled the trigger. You know what the felony was? Yeah. He stepped onto the gun-free school zone with a gun. He committed a felony. Let me ask you a question. You think he gave a damn? He came to commit worse felonies. He was there to commit mass murder. You think the gun-free school zone law stopped him? Hell, it didn't even slow him down. Probably attracted him. Let me ask the more important question. If he didn't care, who did? I'll go further. I think especially there were some teachers, probably some of the last thoughts they had. I hope the last thought they had was, take me home, yeah, save me. But prior to that, they probably thought, you know, I sure wish that I was smart enough to have said the hell with this stupid gun-free school zone and had a gun on me.
Because whether or not they would have taken that sucker out, you know it wouldn't have been any worse. And it would have beat the alternative of dying helpless, wouldn't it? And the fact that those who want to disarm you aren't going to allow you to hear the truth confirms exactly what that truth is. And on that note, here's a semi-related story that I've got to do. Whole different topic, but it still has to do with deadly lies that have killed a lot of people. Comes out of Southern California, where else? Where a San Diego physician last Friday was sentenced to prison for trying to cure patients. He dared to smuggle hydroxychloroquine, which Mr. Gain of Function and the most evil man on planet Earth, Tony Fauci, don't want you peons to have. According to the Department of Just Us, Jennings Ryan Staley pled guilty to one count of importation contrary to law, admitting that he worked with a Chinese supplier to try to smuggle into the United States a barrel that he believed contained over 26 pounds of Zeverbotin drug that he said might actually cure COVID-19. Certainly does a hell of a lot better job than destroying people's immune systems, arguably, and maybe doesn't destroy kidney and liver function like, say, remdesivir, and no way has it killed even a tiny fraction of the people that the Zyklon B injection has, just so far. Dr. Staley was stung by a so-called FBI undercover agent who bought one of his treatment kits, and the Just Us Department liar said this, and listen carefully, quote, at the height of the pandemic, he didn't say it right, before vaccines were available, this doctor sought to profit from patient fears. What? Yeah, you heard that right. Unlike those that profited to the tune of hundreds of billions from booga, 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 the Fauci flu and the fearful fix, the vaccine mandate. I'll say it this way, folks. Knowing what I know now, I'd have thankfully given $4,000 for one of his kits and saved myself 10 times that, as well as all of the evil that followed from what Fauci and crew did and still aren't rotting in jail for. They're pure evil.
Yesterday, then I'll get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again. Don't get fooled. It's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing.
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I am still your host, Mark Call, and we're going to continue the theme of great, big, stinking, deadly lies that are continuously being revealed with a segment I'm going to call Admissions from Evil. Sometimes, and we're used to seeing this, they do it because they're virtue signaling, and they think that evil is really so hip that they want you to know just how evil they are. That usually means they're fixing to follow up with a mandate. And other times, they just want to rub your noses in it because they don't think there's anything you can do to stop them. So, case in point, when evil comes right out and admits it. Adolf did, at least when he talked about the big lie. So does tyrannical Tony, once in a while. Here he is appearing on Fox News with Neil Cavuto, asked about whether or not the mask mandate is going to be appealed, and why. Is it just all about power? The answer is yeah, it is.
Wait, are you asking me what I think about the Justice Department appealing court decision about pulling back?
Exactly.
One of the issues, Neil, that I have articulated in the past, and I will in the future, it's less about mandates on the plane than it is about who has the right and the authority and the capability of making public health decisions.
You peons certainly don't have any rights or any authority to make any decisions. Listen to it again. And note the obvious underlying assumption here. Constitution, rule of law, be damned.
Who has the right and the authority and the capability of making public health decisions? And I believe that the Department of Justice is operating on the principle that decisions that are public health decisions belong with the public health agency, in this case, the CDC. So it's more of a matter of principle of where the authority lies than it is about whether or not there's going to be a mandate on a plane or not.
The mandate is secondary. We have the authority to do anything we blankety-blanking will want to you, and we will.
So it's more of a matter of principle of where the authority lies
and where it doesn't
than it is about whether or not there's going to be a mandate on a plane or not.
Do you think people like this actually want you armed? Or even able to choose life as opposed to whatever it is they have planned? I'll say it again. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. This one is very much related on every level. It comes from Martin Armstrong via the Burning Platform about another one of the candidates for most evil, just not quite as high profile as, say, a Tony Fauci or a Klaus Schwab, but Stefan Ulrich, head of Bayer Pharmaceuticals. And remember, they acquired Monsanto, one of the world's most evil corporate entities. Anyway, this scumbag is head of Bayer's pharmaceuticals department. He admitted at the World Health Summit, SICK, that the COVID-1984 not vaccine really is exactly what the conspiracy theorists have been telling you it is, gene therapy. And he smugly stated that the drug companies knew people would reject the so-called vaccine if, in fact, they also knew it was a gene-altering injectable. So they lied to the people of the world for profits, or maybe worse, for mass murder. They call it population control, of course, getting rid of useless eaters or reducing the surplus population. Pick your poison. How about taking your carbon footprint to zero, whether you like it or not? Well, as Martin Armstrong continues, as the vaccine certainly didn't prevent anyone from contracting or transmitting the virus. And in fact, we now know it converts people into walking spike protein manufacturing bioreactors. Quote, if we had surveyed 2 years ago if people were willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, whoa, time out. What do you mean if we had surveyed people? You know darn well they knew that this was the case. We would probably have had a 95% refusal rate. He openly admits, while, as Martin Armstrong points out, he didn't also admit that many took their gene therapy at gunpoint, either figuratively, economically, psychologically, or literally. And this is interesting, too, albeit not surprising. Twitter has already flagged retweets of this video as, their word, misleading, because the conspiracy theorists who were told they had no place in society turned out to be right, since Big Pharma and Big Brother worldwide used the public as guinea pigs for the largest gene therapy experiment in history. We still don't know the long-term health implications. We've got a pretty good idea by now, though, folks. But we have seen a variety, says Armstrong, of health issues, and certainly lingering side effects, or worse, in the short term. You know, things like strokes, heart attacks, vaccine-acquired immune deficiency, huge numbers of spontaneous abortions. Lots of them, of course, are thrilled about that. And maybe last, but certainly not least, lots and lots of sterility, although it'll take longer before we know just how widespread that now is. Revolutions, he notes, have occurred over much less. Finally, I guess we have to have the comic relief admission from evil. I don't know what's going on. I was clueless all along, but that's why I'm in such a position of power and authority. And the so-called Secretary of the Treasury doesn't even have the excuse of senility. These are the same people that tried to tell you once upon a time that inflation was transitory, whereas now it's obviously staggering. And they don't have a clue yet what's going on, although they do seem to know how to make it a whole hell of a lot worse. And on that score, they're not as incompetent as they seem. Anyway, here we go. This is Janet Yellen, who arguably laid the groundwork for hyperinflation when she was Fed chair. She did, of course, have plenty of help. Finally admitting in an interview on Tuesday that she was wrong when it comes to the path that inflation would take, i.e. through the roof. And let's be clear about this, folks. Anybody that's been listening to this news show has known what path inflation was going to take for years now. And why? And her late-to-the-party claim of ignorance is nothing but a pitiful excuse.
I think I was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand.
Do you think? Trouble is, she doesn't. And the problem is, clueless people like this are letting those who intend to destroy the entire economy get away with it in their stupidity. While we're on the subject, here's a related admission from the Congressional Budget Office that has now released a report squarely placing the high, incredible, and increasing rate of inflation on the fake president, marionette-in-chief's stimulus efforts. What? And yeah, they missed a whole bunch of other things, too. You didn't think they would fess up entirely, did you? During the height of the COVID-1984 pandemic, in which the CBO noted that the Biden Fuhrer is culpable for the historically high rate of inflation, which has created undue pressure on America's workforce in their latest annual report. And the so-called nonpartisan CBO report also says that the marionette's puppet masters and their so-called remedy, increasing taxes, will only make things worse. Oh, yeah, you drive people to the wall, folks, by destroying their businesses, destroying the supply chains, cutting off pipelines, destroying energy sources, crippling the power grid, while, amazingly, forcing people to buy electric cars that they're not going to be able to charge pretty soon anyway, all the while printing money like there's no tomorrow, and then decide, since you can't afford to pay your bills anyway, let's just tax you right over the cliff. And maybe since you realize now that you're a dead man walking because we poison poked you, you'll decide to commit suicide before we have to release the next plandemic. Well, folks, like I said, admissions like this come slowly, but at least they've come part way. The annual CBO Economic Outlook squarely blames Biden's 2021 COVID stimulus bill for at least part of today's high inflation, says the Gateway Pundit summary. They note that the stimulus checks sent to Americans in 2021 significantly boosted demand, causing inflationary pressure. And furthermore, Biden's COVID stimulus artificially slowed the recovery of labor force participation by paying workers not to work. So the continued lack of employees then strained supply chains, which were already near the breaking point as a result of other stupidity, creating an additional upward source of pressure on consumer prices. You see how it works? They didn't think you'd figure it out. Janet Yellen still hadn't. Meanwhile, Jamie Dimon, infamous CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, probably knew what was coming all along because big banksters have been a big part of the problem. But now it seems it's time he too can admit it. He's preparing, he says, the biggest U.S. banksters for an economic hurricane now on the horizon and advised investors to do the same. Quote, you know, I said there's storm clouds, but I'm going to change it. It's a hurricane, said Dimon Wednesday at a financial conference in New York City. While conditions may seem fine, he said, at the moment, nobody knows if the hurricane is, quote, a minor one or Superstorm Sandy. So you'd better brace yourself, he told the room full of analysts and investors. J.P. Morgan is bracing ourselves, and we're going to be very conservative with our balance sheet. But no, folks, he didn't come right out and say, buy gold and silver, although those who can see hyperinflation and understand history have been doing that, especially during the price suppression here and what amounts to a manipulated subsidy of the real stuff. He even warned that, I'll put it this way, that stupid people still thinks, he says everyone thinks, the Fed can handle this. But the hurricane's right out there, quote, down the road, coming our way. Two things have Jamie worried. First, the Fed has signaled they'll reverse their emergency bond buying to infinity programs and shrink their balance sheet. This is called quantitative tightening, or QT, kind of sort of the opposite of spending like there's no tomorrow and covering it up by buying back their own newly printed bonds. It's scheduled to begin this month and ramp up to $95 billion a month in reduced bond holdings over time. Quote, we've never had QT like this, he said, so you're looking at something you could be writing history books on for 50 years. No doubt, folks, as your host has suggested for a long time now, ever since I've been warning about this inevitable meltdown in inflation, along with every other Austrian economist out there, they're going to call this the real Great Depression. But, said Diamond, several aspects of quantitative easing programs have now backfired, including negative interest rates, which he called a huge mistake, saying central banks don't have a choice because there's too much liquidity in the system. They have to remove some of that liquidity to stop the speculation, reduce home prices, and stuff like that. But the other thing that's worrying Jamie Dimon is the war in Ukraine and its impact on, well, everything. From commodities, including food and oil, to the question of whether or not, even if he didn't come right out and say it, people will be alive a year from now. Oil, he said, almost has to go up in price because of disruptions caused by the European conflict, the worst since World War II. Potentially, oil prices will hit $150 or $175 bucks a barrel, said Jamie Dimon. And wars, he added, go bad. They can go south in unintended consequences. And we're not taking the proper actions to protect Europe from what's going to happen to oil in the short run, unquote. And some of us have suggested, because it's pretty well undeniable at this point, this was deliberate, folks. Nobody is really this stupid. Although, yes, there really are those who intend to kill billions while they profit massively from it and laugh about it. And I don't want to overlook this next item, since we're kind of sort of at least on the subject of economic meltdown. ADP employment data, says a piece from Zero Hedge, has now signaled the weakest labor market since the COVID-19 pandemic and the associated planned and well-orchestrated collapse. So they begin, while various sentiment measures of employment have sagged notably of late, with ISM manufacturing employment dropping into the contraction range, it's perhaps surprising that analysts still, misguidedly as it turns out, expected ADP to show a 300,000 job gain in May, up from 247K in April. However, the analysts were wrong, very wrong. May showed an addition of only 128,000 alleged new jobs, while April was revised downward dramatically to a 202K addition, which is the weakest monthly ADP jobs print since April 2020, led by a plunge in small business employment, which was once called the backbone of the economy. But the backbone, as is now obvious, has been broken. Small businesses, they say, have now lost 278,000 jobs over the last 4 months. On the World War III front, we've got yet another admission from evil. Zero Hedge's summary calls it a stunning, but perhaps not entirely unexpected, admission that the United States military, woke and dumbed down and fully Zyklon B poisoned poked, in other words, working hard to self-destruct, has been conducting offensive cyber operations in support of Biden's criminal mob boss buddies in Ukraine. And it marks the first ever such acknowledgement openly and suggests, as many observers have long suspected, a deeper Pentagon, or Pentagram as some are now calling it, and U.S. intelligence role in Ukraine against the Russian military than previously thought. And it could be, folks, that eventually, if they keep making admissions like this, they will succeed in getting the Russian bear not only to poke back, but nuke the United States. After all, they keep doing everything except declaring open war. National Security Agency, NSA, once so completely denied they called it no such agency, but that too has been admitted. And U.S. Cyber Command Director General Paul Nakasone told the U.K.'s Sky News on Wednesday, quote, we've conducted a series of operations across the full spectrum, offensive, defensive, information operations, including, he said, offensive hacking operations. And without going into specific details, he continued, "My job is to provide a series of options to the Secretary of Defense, traitorous Lloyd Austin, in case you've forgotten, and the fake president." He didn't put the word fake in there, but he should have. "Are we really supposed to believe he expects that doddering senile diaper wearer to actually make a military decision?" "So," he said, "that's what I do." And deep state minion that he obviously is, he didn't miss the opportunity to try to claim that Russia is looking to interfere in the midterm elections. Why, if those evil Ruskies have their way, the Republicans will take back both the House and the Senate. So rest assured, they're not going to allow that. Quote, "We had an opportunity to start talking about what particularly the Russians were trying to do in our midterm elections. We saw it again in 2020 as we talked about what the Russians and Iranians were going to do, but this was on a smaller scale," unquote. Yeah, I guess it wasn't big enough to overturn the other interference in the election, using things like rigged voting machines, bogus electronic counts, mule stuffing ballot boxes that U.S. communists and big city mob bosses had so carefully orchestrated and unleashed in the middle of the night. And when it comes to asking yourself whether or not it's easy to see that this guy is lying through his evil teeth, a bit of Occam's razor is apropos. Just ask yourself a question. If you really truly wanted to destroy the United States, reduce it to ashes, and completely eliminate it as a power on the global stage, could you have picked a better way to do it than installing a senile, diaper-wearing idiot, not to mention past his prime mob boss and communist puppet, in the White House, all the while undermining the United States economy? Oh, and its military to boot? Zero Hedge makes a similar point this way, quoting The Hill, which says, listen to this, "Experts have warned that Russia will likely deploy its cyber operations in the 2022 midterm elections, which may take different forms, including disinformation campaigns and election hacking. The experts also said that Russia's playbook is to divide the I'll try to read this without cracking up here, is to divide the U.S. along party lines and suppress voter turnout," unquote. However, says Zero Hedge, it's laughable to think that it somehow takes a foreign actor to divide the United States along party lines, as if this is some new phenomenon. Or for that matter, folks, to think that when dead people, people who have moved to who knows how many different places in the meanwhile, oh yeah, and foreign invaders by the millions are voting in U.S. elections, while mules run copy machines at 3 a.m. to stuff drop boxes, that's somehow suppressing voter turnout. They really do think Americans are that stupid. But I guess since they've been putting up with it and seem to be allowing themselves to be disarmed and their kids killed en masse too, maybe it's getting harder to argue otherwise. And I guess on the how stupid do they really think Americans are front, it's maybe tough to top this one, courtesy of John Rappaport via Lou Rockwell and, of course, the New York Times when it comes to the they really think you're stupid department. "I'm loving this one," he begins. "The Times has a new piece about the anti-vax movement," and he actually quotes it here. Let's see if we can stand to read it. "The anti-vax movement's new frontier. A wave of parents has been radicalized by COVID-era misinformation to reject ordinary childhood immunizations with potentially lethal consequences," unquote. And say it with me, folks. Booga, booga, booga. And Friday morning, says Rappaport, they sent out an email blast to promote their propaganda article. And as Rappaport puts it, the Times really had to stretch to come up with a load like this one. And I'll skip over some of the really insulting stuff and just get to the insidious. "In 2019, even before the plandemic," and they misspelled it, "struck, the WHO, World Health Organization, listed growing vaccine hesitancy as one of its top 10 threats to global health. Now, the plandemic has given anti-vaccine advocates an opportunity to field test a variety of messages and find new recruits." Now, I love Rappaport's riposte to this one. He says, "Yep, our anti-vax squadrons use dozens of human and AI analysts to float our messages and then test the results. We use polls, surveys, in-home visits, NSA-type surveillance tools. We tap your cell phones, read your text, you know, and even covert assets in the press to expand our reach. Elite Foundation money, too, pours into our coffers." All right, I guess he's made the point. Back to the New York Times and their load of crap. There's a lot of misinformation about the COVID vaccines, and it just bleeds into everything. One doctor told us, these fake stories and bad information get stuck in people's heads, and they understandably get confused, unquote. And, oh yeah, really? One whole doctor told the Times that? Well, case closed. Verdict. We're guilty. The doctor is always right. Oops. Wait a minute, he says. I just called a doctor. He told me the Times doctor is wrong. Duel at dawn. Choice of weapons. Alright, I'm gonna skip some of the rest of this, but I think Rappaport pretty well nails it. Nowhere in the Times, though, ever will we read an actual debate on the subject of vaccines, or even not vaccines, in which two sides are adequately represented and allowed, even given ample space, to present a little thing called evidence. Well, or even fake evidence. Because any such debate would be demeaning for the gray lady, the arbiter of all things truth. It would signal, he says, a departure from their perch, which constantly advertises, if we say it, you'd better believe it, because we know it. Finally today, folks, while some evil is openly admitting what they're up to, others are still lying through their teeth and pretending that they're not evil. Major case in point, of course, Microsoft's founder, Bill Gates, who doesn't really come right out and say that he wants to kill a billion people or so, although he does come pretty close, especially if they're Africans and he wants to test new vaccines on them. But isn't it interesting that every time he seems to invest a few $100 million in some anti-human, new high-tech way of undermining humanity and killing people in the process, whether it's farms before the famine or new vaccines right before the pandemic, about the time somebody runs a tabletop simulation, and sometimes even before Big Brother drops the mandates, shazam! Turns out he was right all along and makes a few billion more. This piece, and I'm only going to touch a bit of it here, comes via Dr. Mercola's website and theburningplatform.com, entitled Fake Meat, Fake Breast Milk, and Food Shortages. And yep, Bill Gates appears to be behind a push to stop breastfeeding and encourage the uptake of, well, guess what? He has a new cell-cultured human milk made in a lab just in time, along with other varieties of fake food. His is called Bio-Milk. It isn't as clever. He spells it with a Q. What, like LGBTQ? Maybe the word queer does apply to fake breast milk. In June 2020, he said, Bill Gates announced a startup company, BioMilQ, which is using biotech to create lab-made human, supposedly, milk for babies. They use mammary epithelial cells placed in flasks with cell culture media. The cells grow, and they're placed in a bioreactor that the company says recreates conditions similar to the breasts. And I gotta ask, why not just go with a real one? It's been funded with a multi-million dollar investment from Gates' surrogate firm, Breakthrough Energy Ventures. And by the way, says Dr. Mercola, Gates has also contributed at least $319 million to the media, including The Guardian, allowing him to control and dictate what they print about, among other things, these fake foods. Why, the day after the Gates Foundation paid The Guardian its annual funding in May of this year, they released a hit piece on breastfeeding entitled, Turns Out Breastfeeding Really Does Hurt. Why does no one tell you? Answer, oh, they will, folks, now that Gates pays for it. Writes Dr. Mercola, fake food is being billed as a panacea to end world hunger and food shortages. But there's nothing miraculous about synthetic, lab-made food, which can't compare to real food that comes from nature in terms of either nutrition or environmental protection, as we're seeing with the mysterious infant formula shortages. And isn't the timing amazing? When you're dependent on fake food, your very survival is also dependent on the handful of, guess who owns them too, companies that manufacture them, and may pretty soon manage to get them mandated too. Says Dr. Mercola, given how desperate parents are getting in the search for infant formula, it's eye-opening that campaigns haven't been started to encourage new mothers to, well, guess what, breastfeed. But if you think about that for just a second, folks, it's just so politically incorrect on just about every leftist front. There's a moral here, too, for those with eyes to see. If you've got them, you bet. It's time to open them up.